This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 236. It's not a think tank at Fox News. It's a dunk tank. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of our wonderful podcast. How you doing?
Slash wave.
Oh. Did you have a good week?
Did you have a good week?
I had a week.
No, you had a good week.
My week ended awesome. Let's go with that.
Yes. It was meh. And then got progressively awesome.
And then it progressively went from meh to meh yeah, that's pretty much
yeah,
it.
Progressively that's, got better yeah. as the week
yeah
went
I would say that is an accurate statement.
Okay,
what about your week?
Yeah, yeah, the same.
Yeah,
yeah. Meh, 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 meh.
And now we gotta start it again over with the
yeah meh, but this meh, is a pay meh. week, so it's already more
oh,
than
see?
A for me. Well, I mean, you get paid every week, so yeah, yours should end up progressively yeah. great.
My progressively ends up awesome,
but I mean, this is a week that I get paid, so I'm already going yay for Thursday.
Yeah. Well, I think just in general, people are like, yay for Thursday, because...
Well, if they get paid on a Thursday.
If they get paid on a Thursday, or knowing that Friday is their payday, you're automatically more excited
I'm
on Thursday.
I'm so glad my payday is not a Friday, because of the simple fact that I'm like, shit, it's the end of the week. I don't have to get up on the off chance I didn't have to work that next Saturday. And you know where most of that money would go? Straight to alcohol.
Mm.
And a good
but only if you're over 21.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you know the other thing that you could do with money?
Our website's free.
Our website is free, but there's stuff that we link to from our website that is not that you could purchase. Like our magazine, which is pretty freaking sweet. We've got some new gear in the Freshwear store, so, you know, there's t-shirts, there's hoodies. So
do we have anything that's more male?
I'm working on it. It's hard to, like, pick out stuff that dudes would like.
I know. We need dudes to tell us what kind of t-shirts with our shit on it that they'd want to wear, theoretically.
But until we hear from you guys on that stuff, just visit our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or use our short address, which is...
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce it to the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. iTunes, we're there. It's free. Subscribe. Leave a comment. Thank you.
Absolutely. If you subscribe to our podcast in the iTunes Music Store, which is easy to find by searching for Electric Sisterhood in the little search box, you will get the episodes the moment we put them out on the interwebs for consumption. That means the moment it's out is the moment that you get it. Popping fresh, awesome sauce in your ear hole. You can also get our podcast on the Zune Marketplace. For those who do not have or live La Vida iOS, you can get it that way. And like I said, you could always just...
What?
Well, if they're not going to get it in iTunes,
they're not going
to get it in the Zune Marketplace.
Okay, all right. If they're not going to do the cool ways to do it, they can do it the lame way by plugging us into any RS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're going to do that, or even the cool things, look out for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that exists in the Land of Esh. We have new episodes that go out on Monday. You can follow that up with an episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast, which is hosted by our boy, King Baby Duck. He talks about all kinds of stuff with his bastardly bunch, which includes sports, and tech, and gadgets, and anime, and music, and movies, and TV, and...
Ponies!
No, they don't talk about ponies. I've never...
Oh my god, ever, I'm gonna make them talk about ponies.
I've never, ever, ever, unless they're talking about playing the ponies, heard the B3 Clue talk about ponies. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Well, that will change.
How do you manly talk about ponies?
We will find out.
Mm.
They'll be like, man, check out the man ponies. If they're talking about man, like Mustangs. Baby Mustangs. Like, that's a manly horse, but a baby manly horse. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. But on Wednesday, there's a episode of the Geek Agro Podcast, which is hosted by Zeus is Wild, another ESH alum, mostly carries the gadget PC gaming, yeah, tech stuff. So right there, a little more focused than our little deal, which is pretty much video games, anime, and general geek.
Yeah, because we don't get a lot of gadgets.
No.
But we try to talk about them when we get something new.
Yeah, which is, you know, I always like to think when the partners who send us stuff to actually have gadgets to talk about. Always love that stuff. So that's our business, because I already told you about the magazine, which you should definitely cop, because it's a pretty freaking sweet issue. But we have so much to talk about this week.
We often have a lot of stuff to talk about.
I know. That's why we have so many cutting room floor shows, because we cut so much stuff, because we're talkers.
Yeah.
We come from a family of talkers.
I agree.
There's a lot of talk that goes on.
Blah, blah, blah. Happens yeah. all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yada, yada, yada. And blah.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta first let you guys know and remind you that PAX East, right around the corner.
I'm so excited.
Okay? Literally, 2 weeks.
Not even.
Well, by the time you listen to this episode.
The minute that this is available on that day, yeah, then it will be 2 weeks from that date.
Yes. Yep. So that's what I'm assuming, is that they got this episode the moment that we put it out on the feed. Because they're one of the kids that subscribes to our podcast.
Yeah.
Okay?
I wish we had, like, a ticker on our website that showed how long till PAX East, till we are arrives.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what you want?
Yeah.
On the website?
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean if I built that, you would actually look at the website?
Oh my god, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you don't look at the website now.
That's not true.
It's true.
It loads on Mama Mac all the time, so when I'm going to
I know, but it's not even your own homepage, it's your freaking website.
I know. Because
I mean, like, how sad is that? Sad is that?
I feel like if I had it as my homepage, I'd be, like, gloating about myself to myself. And that's a little too much for me.
Really?
Just...
It's a homepage on everything I freaking own.
It's a skosh to... What's the... There's a word for this.
Narcissistic?
Perhaps.
No! That's just good promotion.
You're promoting yourself to yourself.
Well, and anyone who might be by, okay? You could be opening up your laptop with somebody nearby, and they're like, oh, what website is that? You'd be like, oh, it's my website. And blah, blah, blah. Boom. Instant networking.
I don't let anyone look at my laptop.
Well, that's because you're just, you know, special. Anyway, PAX East, because we're going down the wrong hallway.
Yeah, we're going. It's 2 weeks away, so if you're going... You know, keep tabs on our Twitter. We might say where we might be at. You might be able to stop by and say
hi. We could tweets up, people.
And take pictures with you, and then you can gloat to your friends that you know hot matches.
I've never gone to a tweet up.
A like tweet up?
I've never gone to a tweet up. I've never held a tweet up.
We should do one.
We should do one.
Well, I mean, I went to the All Games one at PAX East for lunch in the food court.
Yeah, I didn't get information about that tweet up until...
You were going to the FXX party. When the meetup happened.
Well, you know what? There was some confusion.
I guess.
Around that time.
Well, I thought you were going to A, I got invited to B, and I went to B, and you went to A, ?
Yeah, no, I went back to the room.
And then...
And got my pajamas.
I went to the Jonathan Coulton concert, and...
I was in my pajamas.
Nearly had an accident getting back to the hotel room.
Nearly? Oh, yes, nearly.
Nearly.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, that was great.
It was sarcasm! /.
It was wonderful.
But we are really looking forward to PAX East this year, as you know or may not, so we're sharing it with you. They've actually moved the venue. Last year, we were at the Heinz Convention Center, and we just took it over. There was so many gamers. There was so much geekiness. It was just oozing out of the convention center. It could not be contained.
I was on the 7 o'clock news.
Yeah, you were. That was pretty... It was pretty
playing cool. Bass.
Yeah, it was pretty...
Boston, more than a feeling.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that was, like, the first time you played Rock Band in, like, a month.
I know, and it was so awesome.
I know. That's because it's just inherently
Well, bass
awesome.
Is also inherently a little bit easier.
True. True speak.
Yeah.
But this year, we've actually moved the venue into a bigger space.
The BCEC.
Yeah, and which is, you know, pretty much the biggest convention spot in Boston, which means if we fill this thing out...
Yeah, there's no more three-day passes now.
Yeah, three-day passes are gone. They're sold out for PAX East. So you better get on it, because now you're only looking at being able to hit one day, more than likely, because I think Saturday and Sunday, which are the only ones that are left, and Saturday's going fast as far as one-day passes go. Two-day passes, I think, are also gone.
Yep, so... Pretty much, that means you'd only really get to hit Sunday, which is a lot of vendors
are trying to venues, Vinny,
anyway, the vendors are all trying to just get rid of all the stuff they don't want to bring back to their site.
I know, that's why Sunday's a good day
for shopping. Swag. No, swag is what you get when you do interviews and they give you presents, but just regular... convention souvenirs.
Yeah, but the thing about PAX East, which is different than E3, is that a lot of the vendors do have some swag that they do give away for everybody coming through. Yeah. Not just for the press folk. You know, a lot of squishy balls and...
I like squishy balls.
I'm not saying a word to that. But, you know, like bottle openers, like 2K gave away some really neat bottle openers last year. Pens, which I always love a good pen.
I like stealing your good pens.
You do. You know,
so, I mean, it's a win-win situation.
It is. But I'm going to say right now, I'm really looking forward to seeing how well PAX East does in this venue. Because there isn't anything larger in Boston
than this
convention.
So if this hits off, then that will probably be their ideal spot.
This will be the home of PAX East. Yep. And I'm so excited about that. And I'm also really excited to see that, you know, here we are, less than 2 weeks out from the event... The three-day passes are already sold out, which tells me that we're going to have just as good
of a turnout
to this year's event as we did last year.
I think my only gripe where the venue is, for one, it's not in the Back Bay. Heinz Convention Center was right in the Back Bay.
Right.
So, I mean, you were kind of in probably the hippest part of Boston.
Yeah.
You had a whole lot of pubs. You had a whole lot of different types of restaurants.
Shout out to the Poorhouse.
So, I mean, you have a lot of that. But where this venue is, we're right near South Station, which is in a darker part of the city. A more industrial part of
the
city.
Yeah, it's definitely more business industrial than urban hipster.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
So, I mean, the venue's going to be great, but in terms of, like, where all the after, you know, events are
going to
be.
Well, yeah, I mean, because the SFX party, which we are going to, by the way, this year, all right? We're going to make that happen, all right? The Dom Father is going to be there. The guy who does the voice for Dominic and Gears, who's also a DJ.
Like I told you.
And he's going to be spinning for an hour.
Oh, my
during...
God, he's a DJ?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, is he going to be bitching about his wife? Because, you know, I already had an issue with that in Gears 2.
Well, he's also, you know, the voice of, Leonardo in,
He was gay. Leonardo was gay.
So
either he's griping about his dead wife that he killed, or he's griping about that hot guy.
No, he's gonna be working the ones and twos for an hour.
No.
The party's gonna be insane.
And one of them is his dead wife, and the other one is the hot guy on the other side of the bar that he wants to dunk.
So, it's gonna end up being, what, a Rihanna song then?
Oh, Nana, what's my name?
Oh, Nana, what's my name?
Oh, Nana.
What's my name? But, randomness aside, the SFX party is going to be ridiculous. But it's, I don't think it's in the district. I think it's at the MKT, which is, like, on Water Street. So that's a cab.
I think anything worth going to after the venue shuts down, and by shut down, I mean, you know, panels and or lectures you might have want to jump into, panels. If you're not going to game all night, but you want to go, you're going to have to head towards the Back Bay or towards, what do they call it? My mind's blanking. But yeah, so you got to venture away from the site.
I mean, you know, one of the things that we're going to have to do and we're going to have to figure out really quickly is where we're going to end up eating outside of, you know, the convention hall itself, because unlike the Heinz Convention Center area, which had a lot of, you know, pubs and restaurants
right across the street,
or in the building, you know, down in that piece of the district, I mean, you got the Westin, and let's face it, not all of us have the kind of money to stroll up into the Westin's cafe to have something to eat.
I so want to cough and say something inappropriate, but I won't. They know who they are.
You know,
you rich bastards.
You know, so, I mean, but think about it. That area is not used to having
And they're going to have such an influx of people.
Exactly. They're not used to having an influx of
Oh, my God, they're going to smell the con funk.
The con funk. For the first time. Can you imagine con funk at
the Westin?
They'll
be like, is that the plant down the street? No, that's PAX East.
That people, you have
shower people.
You have showers in your rooms. Come on now.
Don't sleep.
And they give you complimentary soap, so there's no excuse.
So all you have to do is get naked and touch yourself with it.
You know you like that. Anyway, in addition to all of these thoughts that we have about PAX East, we are also going to venture out and try something new for us.
I know. I think you guys are going to like it.
We are actually going to shoot some video and share it. We might even do some things live. So make sure that you check out the website during PAX East, because we're going to have a bunch of different content on there. Including a panel that we're going to do. I call it a panel because it's mostly going to be Q&A. It's not really going to be a show.
Wait, we're going to do Q&A?
Yeah, amongst ourselves. Oh. Remember how we did like a recap show last year when we went to PAX East with the B3 crew?
Yeah.
And it wasn't really a show as much as it was a round
table.
Hey,
what did you see?
Exactly.
Did you like that?
Right.
No, why?
That's what we're going to do. Again. But who knows who will be involved in this thing, because we're going to PAX East. Who knows?
I know.
We could have people from OLR there. Maybe. It's a possibility. We might have Lefty Brown from the Merry Gamers. I mean, you just don't know who's going to show up in our audios or in our videos. You'll only know if you tune into the website and find out.
So you guys should be very excited that we're even attempting video, because it does make us mildly uncomfortable.
I'm not really uncomfortable.
I'm a little uncomfortable.
The only piece that I'm uncomfortable with is hauling around a bunch of gear, but I think we've got a good solution this year between, you know,
KBD.
Well, yeah.
Just kidding, with, KBD.
With that, you know, and the look-see, which is, you know, easy to manage, and, you know, the Mikey now, we got audio covered,
you know,
pretty
what I just
easily.
Thought, what? If we were using the look-see, like, say, I had the look-see on, and I was asking you questions, or, like, say, somebody else had the, like, King Baby Duck had the look-see on, and right. You were talking to it.
Uh-huh.
Like, he kind of looks around everywhere, so, like...
Yeah, I know, he's not going to make a great tripod.
I know, because then he might look at you, but then he might be looking at you.
Right.
And then all of them would be looking at you.
Right.
And that could be really... See, that's where that would be slightly unsettling, and
yeah.
I might just do that to be funny.
Yeah, so...
It's like, yeah, so what did you see?
Yeah.
That
might get
up.
The page views up, but only if you're using the Alexa toolbar. PAX East, we're really looking forward to it. We're going to be doing some really neat things.
Attempting
from the show
some really
floor.
Awesome things.
You know, we'll see what works and what doesn't, and we hope that you come along with us on the ride and enjoy it and give us feedback and all that cool kind of thing. And if there's something specific that you want to see...
Besides our boobs.
Yeah, besides that. Hit us up and let us know. We'll make sure that to do the due diligence... To give it the college try. Her college try, by the way. And actually make it...
I was about to say.
I know. Yeah, your college try. And
which one?
Actually,
I did two.
I know. See?
I did
just overachiever. See? So that's why it's your college try, not so much mine. And actually go cover it, take a look at, get information for you, and really kind of help you be there with us at PAX East 2011.
Oh my God, we should take some footage of me getting drunk and having drunk panda fights at PAX East.
You thought that wasn't already going to happen?
Well, I
have
a feeling
I have the look-see.
I already know, A, I'm a panda, 2, I'm liable to get drunk, and 3, I am liable to get...
Liable? Liable to get drunk? You act like that's a possibility
okay,
that you won't.
All right, A, I'm a panda, B, I'm going to get drunk.
Thank you.
And C, there's a liability, I am liable to get angry at somebody and want to fight.
I would say that those are accurate statements.
Those are accurate. And I think we should have a hashtag, drunk panda fights, because I've already kind of started that one. No, I was talking to K-Monk, and she's like, oh, I just had this horrible day where I just want... I'm like, look, she's like, I'm going to probably fall up and down stairs at PAX East. I'm like, that's nothing. Or she's like, or spill something on me. And I was like, oh, yeah? I'm like, I have been known to get mad and want to fight some WPs over knocking over my goodie bag at P.F. Chang's.
I know.
And I said, so be careful of drunk panda fights.
All right, so that's what we're going to do. That's
drunken moments with panda at PAX East. It will happen. and hopefully in a very tasteful way, but I can't guarantee
it's not going to be tasteful, but it will be.
It will be hilarious.
Hilarious!
Oh, I think you guys will enjoy it.
So yeah, that's around the corner. Some good shit right there. Hope that you'll join us. Now, with that all said, we get to go into the meat and bones of this week's show.
How about just the meat?
No, we gotta go all the way down to the bone, because that's where you know it tastes the best.
The marrow?
Yeah, when you get right up on, you know, like when you have a pork chop, you get right to that bone, and stuff that's right off the bone is just so freaking yummy.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know.
Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm not acting like I don't,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, you know that's
beautiful. All right.
Larrapin good. So, we have been playing, I think you got much farther than I have.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, because I'm only in the fourth act, I think.
Right, and I'm already in act 7.
Yeah. Bulletstorm. Now, I've talked about this one since E3 last year.
And I talked about it since I played the demo.
Right. And you're welcome, by the way.
I know she made
Taking the step back, I've talked before on this podcast about needing a go-to game that you can have that just blows steam off. That you're not necessarily always concerned about moving the story forward, or saving the damsel in distress, or whatever. You can just get in, play for a little bit, more than likely blow some shit up, release some pressure, release some steam, you know, get some shit off your chest, or whatever, and enjoy it, and be able to put it down, and come back to it whenever. Bulletstorm has become that for me. Like, my go-to before was Crackdown.
Right.
For that. And Bulletstorm, to me, is like the evolved step of Crackdown. Okay, because you go wherever the hell you really want to around this level. You can attack people from any direction.
I don't know how comfortable I am with that statement.
I mean, it's not like you can climb it. It's not an open world sandbox.
I mean, in Crackdown, that was pretty much sandbox. I mean, you could walk into a territory that was filled with agents, you know, and not, you know, and get your ass beat. I mean, but this is still very linear.
Yeah.
And
I'm not saying it's not linear.
No, I would say it's definitely linear, and
you're not forced down a specific corridor.
No, they really kind of want you to explore every little nook, because, you know, they do give you that exploration, you know, option where you're looking for things, collectible things.
Mm-hmm.
In Bulletstorm, so, you know, they really want you to explore the whole environment, the whole area. But at the same time, if you're really gung-ho on just racking up your kill points, your skill shot points, then, I mean, you could just stay on the linear path and just obliterate everything.
So let's take it back. This is an outing from People Can Fly Games, which is under Epic's banner. And to be honest with you, I'm such an Epic fangirl. I'm not even going
to... I know, I want an Epic t-shirt.
I'm not even going to bullshit about it. I've loved every Gears game. I freaking love this game. In love. Hearts all the way around.
Like, are you doodling Bulletstorm?
Every once in a while, I doodle little pictures of Cliffy B. I'm not even gonna lie.
Are they good or are they
no?
Just
they're
like
horrible. They're
stick figures.
They're stick
say,
figures.
Hi, I'm Cliffy
but
B.
I know that it's Cliffy B because it literally has a little cog tag on it that says Cliffy B.
Wow,
Cliffy B.
That's crazy.
He's cute. Anyway.
He is kind of attractive. Kind of.
All right,
yes,
so anyway.
Kind of. He's not like Adonis. But I mean,
you
he's...
Who likes the gingers, really?
He's not gingery. I just saw a clip of him. He looks like a fading ginger. Well, then you know what? He needs to go back to his original roots. But yes, I am a fan.
He's like a little beefy Seth Green. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See? That's where I'm at. So anyway, so you gotta come along the ninja ride with me. It's fun over here. But I for me, Bulletstorm is just fun. The basic premise is that you are a pirate, space pirate.
Okay.
You have, through some actions, because I don't want to give it all away, through some actions and happenstances upon yourself, are stuck on a planet.
A 3-hour tour?
It's actually going to take you more than 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But the gist of it is, you are now trying to get off this rock.
I They should call it, I'm surprised they didn't call it Gray's Island or Gray's Planet.
Grayson's Planet.
Yeah. You've got to be stuck on this deserted, air quotes, planet.
So, getting into the nitty and gritty a little bit, it turns out that this deserted planet isn't as deserted as one
might think.
Yes. And so there are some rival, would you call them really gangs?
Well, later on, I mean, you don't know this because you're still early on in your game.
Yeah.
But I would use the term gangs, yes. There are factions. You can even say factions if you want to.
I think that's probably more accurate.
There are factions.
Yes. And none of the factions get along with each other.
No.
And they really don't like you.
Like it's really, like, they are either trying to kill each other for eating
purposes.
Or killing just for killing, but they're probably going to eat you anyway. So they're trying to eat each other. But they really like to eat you.
Yeah. They would really... Like, you are pretty much...
You are like...
The filet mignon.
Yeah.
To their Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, exactly. The famous bowls, because those are fucking awesome.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Oh, I miss those. I could just eat those.
But anyway... Chicken. That's so stereotypically wrong. Anyway, as you delve through the story, there are some layers there. But the biggest piece are these skill points. You know, for the most part, it's your typical first-person shooter outing. Okay? Stuff's coming at you. You want to blow it up so it doesn't kill you.
Right.
And it really would be better for you to kill it when it's far away as opposed to when it's close up, because you've got to maneuver way too fast and move around in order to shake them. And so you will typically die. Okay? So
take it like from the painter Monet status. From far away, it's really good, but up close, it's a big mess.
Truth
Keep it way back.
Truth.
Take it out early. Don't let it come home.
Yeah.
Let it come home.
Yeah, yeah, it really should not come home to roost at all.
No, because it will pwn your face.
It will, and it's not really fun, because the AI does move quickly. It's not like slow-moving Nazi zombies.
Not even that, but also I've noticed through my gameplay, you know, like, when you're playing, like, a Gears 3, let's stay in the epic realm here.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing Gears, you know, 2, and you have your team members, and they're all taking shots, I mean, there are certain times where your AI will go down. Like, they'll get hurt. You know, and the other AI, the bad guy AI that's shooting at you guys, you know, will shoot at everybody.
Yes.
I have come to notice that in this game, all the AI seem really focused on you.
Right. And, you know, part of that, I would say, it kind of makes sense to me if you think about it, because your main road dog, like, your AI
Ishii.
Partner,
yeah,
Ishii, is half human, half robot, so maybe he's not as, you know, tasty a morsel?
Maybe.
But it definitely, I've noticed that they do shoot at both you and Ishii, but as far as when they're charging at people, they more charge
at you
than Ishii, as long as Ishii or your other partner is engaged. Like, if they're not engaged with someone, they will go after whoever's closest.
Okay. Maybe that's it, and I tend to take point a lot.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't. I hang in the back, so...
Oh, no. I'm up in the action. I'm always...
Because I like to headhunt.
So, I just noticed that I tend to get knocked out a lot.
I do get locked out a bunch.
And
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. But, I mean, there are several instances later on in the game where you're not even partnered up with Ishii. You will, later down the road, meet a femiel, who I won't really discuss much into.
A female?
Yep, I said, yep. I just pronounced it weirdly, femiel.
I was wondering, I was like, is that a new species?
That weird rapper says labels, labial, so why can't I say femiels?
I mean, you can say whatever you want, that doesn't mean that people understand what the hell you're trying to
female.
Say.
Yeah, female. You'll meet a femiel, a female.
a femali.
Who will help drive your story pretty much, you know, pretty close to the end, but then not the end, maybe. Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, I feel like Bulletstorm is, like, let's take one layer off of it, put a shiny pirate filter over it, and, I mean, like, if you take Gears 2, lighten it up a little bit, put them out in the daylight,
and make them in the dark,
and make them pirates. that we essentially have.
Now, I don't think that that's a bad recipe, though.
I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just saying
I would say that that's an accurate look at it. I mean,
it's a very accurate look, and I do think that this will fill,
by the way.
This is a great filler for while we're waiting for the September, because it is confirmed that Gears 3 will be a September 20th release.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yep.
Damn, Cliffy, you are so lucky.
Believe it or not, they had some news coverage of it on Xbox Live.
Okay.
I did catch that. And it is being released September 20th of 2011, so fall of this year.
I'm going to have to take that day off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's good thing I have vacation time. I have to take 2 days off for that.
Can't take 2 days.
I can't. I have 10. And now that we're not going to E3, that opened up a lot of vacation days.
Yeah,
and I figure out what I'm going to do with
it. I could totally take one, though.
But anyway... So, and the only reason why they pushed it back, or at least what his explanation was for pushing it back, was they pretty much thought they had a polished game for the April release.
Mm-hmm.
But then they took that polished, what they thought was polished, and that's what's going to show in the beta.
Okay.
And the beta will be released in April. It will showcase a lot of the multiplayer aspects. I don't think they're going to give away any of the campaign.
I don't think they want to give away any of the campaign.
No, and that'd be smart. Because, yeah.
So, I mean, Bulletstorm, they did the same thing, and I think it benefited Bulletstorm.
And I think it's really funny, because the demo for Bulletstorm, when you play it later, like, in the game, the segment that they gave us for a demo is so later on in the game. So it's not like they gave you the first, you know, hour of the game in the demo. They gave you later on. So I was sitting there going, like, so when am I going to hit that one area that I should know, like, the back of my hand? And then, you know, third day in, 11 o'clock at night, I'm half dead. Oh, here it is. I'm like, and I know exactly what I should do here. Boom, 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 boom. Went through it like a, you know.
Like Grant went through Richmond?
Or, you know, a sneeze went through a tissue. More or less.
Shit through a goose?
Maybe.
Hypnotic through a ninja?
That might work.
But I like hypnotic.
Anyway, so, you know, if they gave us a bit of the campaign, I don't imagine if they were smart, they would do like they did with Bulletstorm and give us something further down the road that wasn't, you know, something that gave away the story, but just something for us to see.
Look,
all the gameplay.
Epic is not going to give away the story on Gears 3. It
That's their baby.
It behooves them to build the suspense. And we're already there. We're already excited. So it's just gravy for them, and that makes sense. But here's what I want to talk about in Bulletstorm. I'm going to say this right off the bat. It is worth a buy. That's where I sit with it. It is past rental. And here are my reasons why.
Yeah, what are your reasons?
The dialogue is just so funny. Okay,
it is racially and sexually charged. You would think wrote the dialogue
for
this game.
Exactly. It is snarky. It is South Parky. It is, you know, the dialogue that we make up as gamers when we're playing a game and it's just bad dialogue. I mean, I know that you've all done this just like we have. You've turned the volume down because the dialogue, you either played the game so many times, you know it by the back of your hand, or it's just so bad that you MST3K that shit and you make it better.
Yep.
That's the
personally
dialogue
for you.
That's in Bulletstorm.
Yeah, in this game.
Okay, so that right there is worth the rental alone. It's mature language. It is not
Yeah, this is not for your 12-year-old.
No, it's not for your 12-year-old
this
to be around
even for
you
your
if you're playing it. Okay? But the gameplay is fluid. I have yet to see any slowdown in frame rate running it. Period. So it runs smooth, it runs fast, the dialogue is snarky and it's fun. It pokes fun at itself at times.
Oh, it gets
and the
worse
genre.
Later and you're not even close to the good bits yet.
You know, but I love it when a game or a development team or whoever's writing for a story or whatever is in on the joke. And they bring you along with it. I appreciate that. When you come out and say, yeah, we know that this is just a lighthearted thing. We don't take ourselves too seriously. It's just for fucking fun.
Yeah.
I mean, for fuck's sakes, dick tits.
Oh, that's not even the crowning jewel.
You had me at dick tits. Okay?
Like, that's not even the crowning jewel yet.
All right. I mean, like, there's a line literally where one character, you know, basically says that if you get any closer to her, she will kill your dick. And your character, Grayson Hunt, sits there and stops for a second and goes, kill my dick? What does that even mean? Okay, you know that there was somebody who had who literally pitched the line. And somebody in the meeting said that, and they just said, that's what we'll have Grayson say. You know, I love that. You don't take yourself too seriously. You know that you're just supposed to be a fun romp and a fun excursion of just blowing shit up, which patched with the skill shot mechanic for gameplay, I think is just brilliant.
I think I have to think that probably my favorite line outside of the I'm going to kill your dick line. Later on, you meet back up with Ishii. And somebody else who I'm not gonna,
name right,
and you're running through this area, and you get to this big door, and you're trying to get it open, and Ishii's like, "What's in there?" And the other person who you're with is like, "A whole bunch of big titted women with yellow fever." And literally, I just stop, and I'm like, "Oh my god, did he just make a racist suggestion?" I'm like, "Yep."
Oh my god. Oh,
it's later on in the game. But I mean, yeah, so I mean, this game is very sexist, very racist. You know, does have.
It puts its finger on. It
bunga bungas your butt.
It bunga bungas everything. It pretty much flips the finger up to everything and says, look, we're just going to be over the top with everything.
Everything.
Fuck it. Have fun. And I love that about the game.
Oh, yeah.
And it does. I mean, the thing about this game, which is, I mentioned earlier, and I think you talked about it a little bit with mentioning the skill shot, is that's really the big mechanic that propels the game forward. You know, in most of these shoot 'em ups, you get bonuses for taking out enemies, and you find money laying around or things like that that you can use to upgrade your weapons, unlock additional skills.
There is no money to be found in this game. All of your point system, your currency, as it will, is what you accumulate through your kill shots. So, I mean, you could just go through this game and just headshot everybody. And, you know, you can kill everything. But you won't be able to upgrade your weapons. You won't be able to, you know, upgrade your charge attacks without being creative. So,
and,
I mean, the basis of this game is not necessarily just killing everything and make
it
to the end.
But be creative about
it. You do it.
Use the environment. Find the weirdest, neatest way to kill somebody. Like, the most fun kill that I've had so far is there's a thing called gag reflex, which you get if you shoot somebody through the neck, because it means that they don't die immediately, they just start grabbing their throat. And so I shot a dude in the neck, and I get, like, I think you get 25 points for the gag reflex thing. Then I grabbed him with my leash, which is kind of like the scorpion get over here move, so they come to you in slow motion. I kicked him away from me, and he hit a Venus flytrap that had mutated, so it started chewing him. And I grabbed the Venus flytrap with my leash, and I pulled it off, its head off while he was chewing the guy. And it fell over the side of the cliff, so I got a vertigo thing. So I got, like, 500 points just from
you
this one kill.
You had gotten what? You got gag reflex, vertigo,
and environmental.
Feeder. No, environmental is when you use the explosives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so unless
feeder,
you blew him up, then no. Got him in the feet.
Feeder, I got
gag reflex,
I got vertigo, and I got, there was something else I did, because it was like four things that were on there.
I don't know, unless it was something with ripping off the plant's head while it was eating something. I wouldn't be surprised if there was.
Yeah, I think that's, and I can't remember what it was, and so they went over. So I got like 500 points off of that.
There's an achievement for getting 2,000 in one deal.
Oh,
yeah, dude. I don't even know how you would do that.
I'm not even sure.
But they give you in the screen where you're powering up your skill shots, so you can look at, because they don't tell you what any of the skill shots are, so you won't figure them out until you do them. They will highlight them, you know, and tell you what they're put. They'll tell you what all the point values are, but you have to figure out which ones are worth what.
Yeah, you have to figure out how you achieve the thing. Like, mm-hmm. It'll say you get 50 points for doing this kind of kill, or 50 points for this kind of kill, but you have to figure out what the thing in the environment is that will do that for you.
Mm-hmm, yep. So, I mean, you have that. I mean, you do have your general...
A lot.
That's when you spike someone.
Yeah.
You put them on, and not necessarily spike, because if you put them on a cactus, that's pricked.
Yeah, I've done the pricked one, too.
So, there's a lot of impalement in the game, but, I mean, they do give you the general skill shots, you know, like Voodoo Doll and, like,
I still have yet to get a firecracker in someone's ass.
No. Believer, you do have to do that with the big guy, but let me get to that.
Okay.
So you have your general ones, and then when you get different guns, because later on, because not all the guns are available right away, later on, certain ones
will... You do
have
to discover them.
Yep. And believe it or not, when you go into a second game, you can't bring over your new...
What?
You start over fresh.
Oh, lame sauce.
Yeah, a friend of mine was like, yeah, just beat on normal and then hard enough, and you have to re-level all of your guns.
No!
You have to rediscover all the kill shots.
No! That sucks, dick.
So you get to start over fresh.
No, I don't.
No cheating.
Mm-mm.
No cheating.
No, that's not cheating. I earned that shit. I should be able to take that. That's your first DLC patch that you need to fix, Epic, because I need to be able to bring my weapon.
Games Plus, please.
Yeah, over. Seriously.
But with each new gun you get obviously new skill shots with that gun.
Right.
Regular ones. And then later on when you unlock the charge ability, and I believe that's when you tap your RB button.
Yeah, your right button. Charge or up your right shoulder.
Yeah.
If you're playing.
No, it's right button. Unless you if you figure it. Yeah, I don't know if you can.
Yeah, you can change the configuration.
If you keep your standard configuration, it's your RB.
Yep.
And once you've unlocked that for all your guns, you have different skill shots for when your gun is charged. I really haven't ventured much into the charge shots.
I used a thumper once by accident, and I was like, oh my god.
Oh no, you want to do that, because some skill shots are based on killing multiple enemies in a you get a gun later on, that shoots out balls.
Yes, I got that one last night.
Yeah, and if you can thump, like, several people, get them up in the air, and then you shoot balls at them, and they explode.
Balls explode?
Yeah, the balls explode. They don't just chuck balls at you.
Well, because when the guy was firing them at me, they never exploded.
When you get hurt, it's not because you're just being smacked, but it blows up. They're bombs.
Oh.
Bombs. But anyway, so, I mean, the mechanic for the guns, I think, are really interesting. The multiple combinations you can get is really good. And, I mean, I would really suggest playing through the campaign to try to unlock all of them is wise. I mean, when I first got the game, I played maybe through the first two acts of Act 1. And it was actually a really kind of a slow start for me. Like, I felt like up, cutscene, let me walk down here, cutscene, up, now I get to shoot a little bit, up, now we're doing a flashback.
I think that was really designed to get people familiar enough with the mechanics that this is not your normal FPS.
Maybe. I don't know, like, for an action game, you know, like, I mean, like, God of War 3 right off the gate was action.
Right.
I was expecting, with all the hype from this and the demo, that I thought I was walking straight into action, but being the first game where they need to give you some type of exposition, this does make some sense, but I still felt like the beginning was a little slow. It was a little too slow for me.
I think that they could have, like, the opening cinematic that you go through, I think that probably could have been a little bit faster.
They should have let me be drunk and shoot his head off.
I think that it
instead of, you know,
I think that if you had actually guided the ship in through the other ship, that you probably would have felt a little more.
Yeah, I think attached. So. I mean, going through Halo Reach, where you actually had a part of your mission where you were actually fighting in a ship and shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could have gone that way. That would have been fine too.
Because I think there was feeling slow, I think it was because there was so long that you had to wait before you actually had to hit a button to do something.
Yeah, exactly. But besides that, outside of skill shots that you can acquire through your guns, your range of guns, and they give you a multitude of them, later on you'll get one called the Penetrator.
Yeah, that one's fun. I don't think I've gotten that one yet.
You can pretty much impale anyone to anything.
Oh, I want
that
gun.
You pretty much shoot giant drills.
Oh my god, I want that gun.
Yeah, well, the guy at the... Remember, most of the time when you get a heavy-duty gun, you're getting it from a gun runner. Like, those really big guys.
I hate those guys.
And that guy just, you know, you only get maybe three when you get the gun. And this guy's just got endless... I'm like, where are you carrying all them drill bits? Like, they're big drill bits. I'm like, where are you carrying them? Like, I could see all of you. So where is it?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I really don't want to know. And then, later on, in the setup, you will get skill shots that are particular to, I don't want to necessarily say a boss, but they're special skill shots mm-hmm. that will happen linearly through your game. So, like, when you do when you have your first contact with your first mini-boss,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on how you take them out, that's one. Later on, you come across a very big threatening threat.
A big threatening threat?
Yep, a big threatening threat.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't want to explain what kind of
right,
threat it is.
Right, but it's a big threatening threat.
It's hugely threatening.
Okay.
And you'll get one for killing that thing off.
Okay.
And, you know, by doing things in a certain way or, you know, they really do I think there's like, I want to say there's over 100 skill shots.
There is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you can get an achievement for doing, not, you get an achievement for doing all of them in a single player, but there's also, I think, if you can do 75% of them, mm-hmm. I think right now I'm at like 69.
I have no idea. I know I'm not
pretty,
that high.
I'm pretty insane.
I know I'm not.
I've played a little bit of the Echoes mode, which is essentially like the demo.
Okay.
You have a timer. They don't give you a certain amount of points that you have to make.
Okay.
Pretty much, you have a certain amount of time to get through a certain part of the story. So far, like, the first one was part of the early part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you so many enemies. You have to figure out, because they don't, you know, you don't have your original skill, your skill set. You don't have all your guns. I think they give you the carbine. And later on, you do get Ishii, but at first when you're doing it, you're by yourself, and then Ishii comes in later as kind of like a backup. And you have to just rack up points. Like, seriously, rack up points. There isn't a cap in the stars. Like, I know in the demo, like, the highest you could get in that time period was, like, 3. Yeah. I know one dude who has, like, over 12 stars on that one particular Echo map. And more will unlock the more stars that you get. So, obviously, I think replaying one over and over will let you accumulate stars, kind of like
the Rock Band. Well, it's probably a really good training zone for you to really kind of hone in on skill shots.
On your skills. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I have played some of the multiplayer Anarchy a little bit with a good team, and really, the really interesting thing about Anarchy, and I think that's really what it's called. I think there are other maps and stuff like that, or other things for it. I haven't played any, like, matches against other people, and I don't know if that's available or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is later on down the road. But in the Anarchy map, or in the Anarchy selection, you can have, you know, co-op it with 2 people, or you can have a full team of 4. Each round will give you a wave of, so think kind of like Horde.
Okay.
From Gears.
Gotcha.
So each round you have a certain type of NPC that's going to come in, and you have to reach a certain amount of points to advance to the next level. And I think they slowly decrease the amount that you get, amount of enemies who come in.
So you really have to max your skill shot.
Exactly. You really do. The first time I played it, I was playing with Bitmont Rob and Rook.
Yep.
And Alpha Box from Off Topic and Shifts. And we were just, you know, I think we got to, like, wave, I want to say 8 or 9, and we had to come up with, like, 8,000 points, and, like, we all know what we're doing, and we just were not in sync.
Right.
Like, we got so close. Like, it was so, it's frustrating. So, you know, you can't just walk in with your friends who play COD all the time and be like, oh man, we're totally going to pwn this. It's a totally different, you have to put a different tint on your glasses.
Right.
Because it's not about wiping everybody out. It's about collectively working together.
To stylistically
kick ass.
Okay. So it takes that style idea that,
and makes it really important,
that they tried to implement in the Devil May Cry series, and they just didn't quite.
I think Epic did it.
I would say that it really does, in a way that makes sense and is not frustrating in the way of, oh my god, I wish this mechanic didn't exist, but frustrating in the way of, wow, I really need to think about this differently, and I need to attack this differently.
And I mean, right away, you know, when you're down to your last 5 guys, you can look at your skill points and be like, we're not going to do it in 5 guys. So what can we do differently? Because you can't progress until you do it. So you're kind of like, oh, man. It's like, what could we do differently? And then right away, because they do, you know, you do rack up points and you can upgrade your guns. Each round will drop a paw, a drop box down, a drop kit to do that. But believe it or not, each time you jump into one of these multiplayer scenarios, just like in the game, you got to start over. So you don't have, no one comes in prestiged.
Okay.
Everyone starts clean.
So it's a level playing field for everyone.
Everybody.
I think that's a good thing, though.
Yeah. Oh, I totally
because
like it.
Because it encourages the teamwork piece of it. You know,
It absolutely has to. But the game is really fun. So far, all the mechanics that I've, you know, all the little slots of it that I've enjoyed far. I mean, I did get the Epic Edition, so it does unlock some additional content for me. And also has that open for the
invitation for the open beta.
Yep, for the open beta,
which is
Creepy B did mention in the thing I was watching on Xbox Live that there will be other opportunities for people to get access to that online beta, so you don't have to just go out there and buy Bulletstorm to get it. So mm-hmm. he did mention to keep eyes out for other avenues to get that. So I think they want to try to get as many people into that beta.
Well, yeah, because that'll really tell them whether or not they struck the right chord. Because, you know, when you have beta software like that and you have people testing it, you know, you will get feedback very quickly of whether or not
what works, what doesn't work, what would we like to see enhanced, what could they possibly take out completely.
Yeah, and what bugs are there that you may not have caught on to.
Right. Which is what he said in his interview.
And that's, you know, a smart way to look at betas. You know, if you are a company and you are not looking at, you know, releasing beta or demo versions of your game or your software out early to really crowdsource your, you know, troubleshooting and your bug detection, you're really doing yourself a disservice, because I'll tell you right now, the Gears fans will tell you quick and in a hot minute if something is not right.
If it doesn't play right.
If it doesn't feel right. If it's out of character. Because they love and have really invested in these characters. Like, I will play Gears 3. Not because I'm great at first-person shooters. Because I'm not. I've admitted it. I'm not. It's not my thing. No. There are some games, though, that are first-person shooters that I really enjoy. Like Bulletstorm. Okay? I spend more time getting 10-point and 25-point kills. Because I'm just trying to kill stuff. Because I've either gone in too fast and gotten overwhelmed, or to be honest with you, as far as sniping goes, I suck. Okay, follow the bullet and move the bullet. It's like Twing Twang from Heavenly Sword. Okay, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Yeah, but anybody who played Heavenly Sword, you remember Twing Twang, and you know just how much it fucking sucked.
It's not that I don't like.
I don't like it.
The snipe mechanic.
I don't like the snipe
mechanic. I think it is. It is an interesting perspective that allows us to see exactly where the bullet goes. I mean, like, say they did a multiplayer.
I don't need to curve a bullet.
Well, the Wanted made that look really cool. So somebody on their team, the development team, watched Wanted way too much.
The development team literally watched Kill Bill, Wanted, Reservoir Dogs, Ice Pirates, and South Park.
I guess.
And then they came back and said, okay, now let's put all of this in a game.
And make it work.
And go.
Anyway. Nessie, you've totally derailed my thought now with that. What was I talking about?
I don't know.
It was going to be a really good point.
It was going to be an epic point.
I know. I'm so pissed that I don't remember it now.
See, you should write this shit down.
I really should.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, curving the bullet.
Oh, yeah, curving bullets.
I came back.
Yeah, it was a mechanic.
I don't think it's a bad mechanic, and I do think it's really interesting. I think the thing is, they made it look really simple.
It's not. It's
like in the vignettes that they show. But what they don't tell you is, even though they slow down the bullet so you could see where it's going, the dude is moving. The dude will see the sees the bullet coming.
Yes, literally 3 seconds before it's going to hit him.
Before it's going to hit him in the head, and then he shifts. Ooh, excuse me. So 3 seconds, and he starts to move. So he shifts.
And he shifts. And it pisses me the fuck off, because I've got this thing lined up perfect to take his fucking eyeball out, and then, oh, now I'm going to move. You're like, no, bullet, kick, shit,
no, fuck. Do you know what skill shot sucks? There's a skill shot with the rifle where you thump them so they're up in the air.
Yeah.
You shoot from your rifle and you guide the bullet through his nuts.
Wait.
If they're
in the air, you can guide the bullet?
Yeah. When you can thump
I've never
them,
shot anybody
the rifle,
in the air. I only have one thumper.
Man, I've got like four, dude.
I only have one
you
thumper.
Need, oh my god, you need to get on the thump train.
I'm totally
get
not.
Get on that thumper. Get on it.
I am not on the thump train.
You need to get on the thump train. It's fun.
Come on, ride it. Ride thump train.
Thump train.
Thump train.
But anyway, so I haven't completed the story yet. I am in the last act. There are only 7 acts in the game. There, I think, are about 2 or 3 chapters in each act, give or take, about that.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, believe it or not, you know, a serious gamer could get this game done in a day. Like, morning, which most
games... Yeah, you can get it done in probably about an eight-hour run.
Worst case, 8 to 10 hour, I think.
Yeah.
A committed gamer could get it done in eight hours.
You could, you know, get it done, not trying to get every single...
No, but just get to the end of the story.
You could do that in 8 hours.
In 8 hours flat, easy. Yeah. Going after all the kill shots, getting through all the difficulties outside of the very easy and easy. Because, I mean, I started straight on normal. Because, I mean,
I started it on easy just because I wanted to be able to get to the end.
Right. Oh, I'm straight through normal. And you get
But, again, first-person shooters are not my thing. Right. So
that's why. But... I definitely do think this is a buy for anyone who likes first-person shooters and is a big fan of Epic. I really do. I mean, like I said, it does open you up to the beta for Gears 3. I do have some notes pertaining to the Gears 3 beta since I did see some stuff on that.
Oh my gosh, you did homework?
A little bit, yeah.
Holy shit!
So, like I said earlier, Gears 3 will be a September 20 release. So that won't be until fall of 2011. Pretty much in the beta, it will be multiplayer maps. They have now introduced deathmatch to the multiplayer.
Yes.
But they've done it in their own Gears fashion. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, their original Unreal Tournament, you know, deathmatch or, you know, if you see like a COD deathmatch or anything like that, they've really kind of tried to put their Gears tint on it per se.
Mm-hmm.
They will be introducing 4 maps in this beta, 2 of which have already been confirmed, and the other 2 will actually be up to us. Cliffy did mention in his interview that you could go up on Facebook to the Gears of War, you know, facebook.com/Gears of War.
Yep, to the fan page.
And they will have, there's a poll, and they show you the layout of these other maps. The 4 that they have, I think they said 1 was Trenches, which is kind of like a locust map, so it's down low, very, controlled, tight, well, not tight, but enclosed.
It's down low and tight. That's what you just said.
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case. There's Mercy, which is kind of out in the open, not a lot of places to crouch. Like, a lot of things down the ground, but a lot of open. It's like it's an open map. They were talking about an overpass, which has a lot of vantage points for, you know, like sniping, I would assume. More sniping than anything else. And then Old Town. I think they did talk about how in the overpass map, you're in the sinking Jacinto.
Okay.
So as you're playing on this map, it is sinking, water starts rushing in, and by the end of the map, you actually see part of the hollow.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, they really kind of hyped up that particular map, and I actually would like to see that work.
Have you voted?
I have not voted yet, and I think that's what I'm going to vote for. But, They were also talking through in the deathmatch to make it kind of unique from most deathmatches where, you know, you run in, you shoot, you die, you respawn, and you just do this until your timer runs out.
Mm-hmm.
In the Gears version of deathmatch, they give you so many respawns, and then you only have 5 lives after that. So pretty much, you know, you can't just run in, kill one person. So I think they might give you, let's hypothetically say they give you 3 respawns. After 3 respawns, you have 5 initial lives. So you get 8 chances to do some damage. After that, that's it. You're done.
Well, I think that makes sense because one of the things that I hated, and to be honest with you, to be honest with you, it's one of the main reasons that I ran out of Halo. Because I never finished the fight in Halo. The only thing I ever did was multiplayer. And I ran out of it really quickly because, you know, you had campers. And that just took all of the fun out of it. And so I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, so they've really made it so that, you know, eventually there will be only one man standing.
There can be only one!
Yeah. So, I mean, either it's the really the really experienced multiplayer.
Or the lucky sums of a bitch.
Or that one person who hides out and has the lowest points, but never fires a shot. So then it truly becomes a one-man... It could last down to the last man, and I really kind of like that. They didn't hint too much about the Horde mode.
Mm-hmm.
I know when they were talking about it way back when that they were introducing the idea of their, you know, being able to play the reverse side in a Horde and actually playing the Locust side and being a ticker or, you know, or a grunt, or a locust, or a lambent, or a, you know, I don't want to say a brumac, because that's pretty big.
Yeah.
I mean, people would know right away, all right, all who right. chose who, the brumac?
Who decides to be the brumac?
Who wants to be the... Me. That's me.
You know, I mean, that's just not fair. Like, that would be the handicap one. That's the one hit kill.
That person's a dick.
Yeah. That's the one that you give, oh, you don't play FPSs all the time. Okay, you be the brumac.
You be the brumac.
At least this way you'll stay in it for at least 3 minutes.
Yeah, you got a good chance of taking a good chunk of people out if you can aim right.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you haven't had a chance to pick up Bulletstorm yet, I would suggest that you do.
Oh, hell yes.
If you can get the Epic Edition and jump on board of that beta, then yeah, you should have done this.
Well, and the thing about the Epic Edition is that the Epic Edition doesn't cost really any extra.
No, it's the same price
as just the regular retail version. The main difference is that if you get the Epic Edition, you get the access to the Gears 3
beta
when it opens.
And they do give you some more additional maps.
You do get a couple of additional multiplayer maps, and you get some additional gear, so you can basically change Grayson's aesthetic, which is your character, in multiplayer.
Yeah.
Okay, but it doesn't affect the main storyline of the game, and I think that for what they added, that it absolutely makes sense that for this, you know, Epic Edition, this basically, you know, kind of collector's edition, that there's no extra cost involved, because these are just some quick selling points on top of just the fun or the awesomeness of the game. One thing I did want to mention is that, you know, being that it is so over the top, it did get some negative press from, you know, our friends at Fox.
Oh my God, Fox needs to just EAD.
Fox needs to get laid. That's pretty... Fox News
That's
needs
what
to
I said,
get laid.
It's EAD.
I know. Well,
a
not,
good one.
Not just EAD. It needs to get some D up in the V. You know what I'm saying?
Like Fox is a chick?
Yeah, Fox is totally a chick.
Are you sure Fox is a chick?
Yeah, pissy, bitchy, moody
whiny.
Chick.
Oh
yeah.
My...
See?
God, Fox is ruining it for the rest of us.
It is. It's setting feminism back.
Yeah.
Years, dude.
Yeah.
Basically, they had on a psychologist who was named Lieberman. I think her name was Carol. And she said, I want to make sure, so I'm going to go to my notes, because I don't want to mess up this quote. Yeah. She said, video games have increasingly and more brazenly connected sex and violence in images, actions, and words. This has the psychological impact of doubling the excitement, stimulation, and incitement of copycat acts. The increase in rapes can be attributed, in large part, to the playing out of such scenes in video games. Okay? Then she also said that, you know, the game could reach kids as young as 9, and it could traumatize children in that age group, and, one website went and looked at some of the things that Carol used as her reports in citing these types of things. And they had nothing to do with sex and violence in video games at all. But this angers me so much, because I get so tired of the argument being made that, you know, the video game made me do it. I saw it in a video game, so I thought I could do it in real life. Or I saw it in TV, so I thought I could do it in real life. Or I heard it in a song, so I thought I could do it in real life. The medium does not impact the action.
I know. I listened to Russian Roulette by Rihanna, and I have not taken a gun to my head.
Okay, it has to do with the state of mind of the individual at the time. Okay, they've already decided to do the action. They use the medium as the excuse of, yep, yeah, this empowered me to do it. The decision was already made. Okay, if I've decided to hurt somebody, I've decided to hurt somebody. It's not because I listened to Anemia by Tool and decided I'm going to be a vehicle of destruction, for I feel sorrow so deeply within me that cannot be contained. Like, let's not be stupid about this. And I find it so infuriating to have people who are in a position of authority, of a position to really explore and talk about what really affects the psyche, what controls it, and what can contribute it in a way that is actually fair and balanced, coming out and saying, yep, no, games like this are going to make people rape people.
Well, I mean...
Bulletstorm is not going to make you rape anybody.
Well,
not gonna make you.
No. I was just joking.
Okay.
I mean, but we cannot look at Fat Fox as a reliable source.
I know.
Because every time a game comes out that shows even a little bit of some bazongas or some tush. By bazongas, I mean breasts, ladies.
Bazongas or some tush.
You know, they have to come out with a 30-minute expose about how your kids are having sex right now. One, they probably were having sex before the game came out.
Dude, they were totally having sex before the game came out.
You can't
stopped mid-coitus to be like, oh my god, game's coming out next Tuesday.
Dude,
did you get
Timmy,
a reserve in? Yes, I did. Okay, great.
Timmy, call your brother at GameStop to reserve that for us.
Yeah, okay. I will. I'll make a note of it. Now,
back to the
panties. You know,
we really shouldn't attribute to it. I mean, unless, you know, a kid comes out in the blue and says, yep, holding the game in his hand, this made me do it.
See this game?
Like,
I wanted to live this game. So now I'm living this game.
Yeah, this one.
And even at that, you have to go, you are stupid.
You're a nut.
You are just insane.
You're batshit crazy.
The game didn't make you do it. You decided to do it and blame the game. Okay, there's no video game that literally presents itself on screen and addresses you by name and says, I will destroy your entire family unless you do
like,
every
we have
single
your house,
action.
We have your house rigged to blow up. There's a list of achievements that you need to unlock through this game. Once you've achieved them, after you've unlocked it, you have 48 hours to complete
literally,
all of them or
we will
blow up your house.
We have put an explosive inside your family.
We have captured your mom.
Not my mom.
Yeah, that'll make you do it. Mom's been captured.
No.
And now you have to terminate a senator. Here's a map.
That senator's fucked. I'm going to say that right now because I will take that senator out.
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
But
that would be an example of a video game making me do something.
But Fox has never been a reliable source and doesn't seem to be all in the game demographic, which is sad because the people they really are trying to appeal to are the people they're bashing at the same time. So they might need to get their think tank back
in that
room.
That's the problem. They don't have a think tank. They just have a dunk tank.
See, they need to get a think tank and be like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't bash
the think tank was supposed to be, the dunk tank was supposed to be the think tank, but then they just decided, but we could just put Ann Coulter on it and throw balls at her face.
Anyway,
so
like I said, for the third time, Fox is not a reliable source. It has gone after games before, and it's going to do it continuously.
I have no problem with going after games, but dang it,
Let's go back, because remember, Fox did that big thing about Mass Effect. Oh no, it's going to increase bis and sex, you know, lesbians and
Mass
aliens.
Mass Effect didn't make me a lesbian.
No, it didn't make me bisexual.
It didn't make me bisexual.
No. Jesus, curious, maybe, but aliens don't exist. I'm just kidding.
No, you're not. Like, only a little
well,
bit,
I mean, if aliens looked like that, I would have to consider it.
An Asari? Oh, my God. Hell yeah.
An Asari was real.
Asaris are sexy.
If they were real and they were like, yeah, we do anything, I'd be like, hey.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up? I have a job. I mean, I know that doesn't really equate to outer space, but it's pretty impressive.
Here. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, but I don't believe Asaris are real. They were man-created and drawn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I'm sure if real aliens exist, they don't look anything like that.
No,
and the last thing they probably want to do.
Be fair.
And I'm sure the last thing they'd want to do is couple with us.
Probably not.
So I'm not too worried about it. I'm seriously not worried about it.
But according to Fox, you now are an alien lover.
Yep.
And
apparently.
You're in a threat to America.
America. That's okay. But you know what I think is funny? That they went after Mass Effect for that.
Right.
But then they didn't even broach Dragon Age. Which, okay, so...
That's because they're not informed about games. I mean, fucking Dragon Age.
Like,
holy hell.
By the way, that
demo is available now.
Yeah, Dragon Age 2. That's right, I'm planning on... That's bought. In my mind, it's already purchased. It's downloading its physical form into my living room right now as we speak.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's like... It's not even... It's pending right now.
It hasn't downloaded yet. Gotcha.
But anyway, I mean, in Dragon Age, the love scenes, you know, by the campfire, you know, no clothes, no armor, you know, like, there was a little flesh here. I mean, it was very tastefully done. You know,
but
soft course.
Sex.
But yeah, there was definitely sex. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, alien. That you really didn't see too much, really. But Dragon Age, we got so it's okay when humans get buck wild by the campfire.
Right. But when you if have a human get buck wild with an alien, oh hell no.
Fox, have you not watched any of the alien action movies? A dude always puts his dick in it.
Always. Always.
Always. But I don't see you doing exposés about species or alien.
Galaxy Quest.
Or Splice.
Tony Shalhoub totally got all up in the octopus shit.
Adrian Brody put his dick in it.
Yeah, he did.
In Splice. And that was, like, partly his, like, DNA. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, incest and alienism.
Yep. He totally did it.
He put his dick in it.
Yep. But oh no!
God forbid pixels put their dicks in it to other pixels.
Thank you!
You have an issue.
Pixels can't fuck other pixels.
But a human
evidently,
can fuck an alien in a movie.
No, a human can fuck pixels because that was CGI.
Yeah.
So you can have humans on pixels, but not pixels on pixels?
Yeah.
According to Fox.
Fox.
Yeah, news.
Mm-hmm. Fox. Yep. Not news. It's not news. They can't even predict the weather right. Go to Channel 5.
That's because their meteorologist didn't actually get the piece of paper at the end. I reject the weather. I decide what weather is American
to have.
Those
are cumulonimbus clouds.
Cumula what?
Nimbus.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Anyway, so for me, at the end of the day, Bulletstorm is a buy, and at the minimum, it wouldn't suck as a gift to anyone who enjoys shoot 'em ups. Okay,
I think Bulletstorm was a gift to us while we're waiting for Gears.
Absolutely.
So Epic, this was Epic's gift to us, and if you can gift it to a friend who's probably going to gift it to you, it's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So we remind you, check us out at PAX East. March 11th through the 13th, we'll have all kinds of awesome content on the website.
We'll even have shirts with our names on it.
You can, if you're actually going to be at the event, you should look for us. We will be following our Twitters like crazy. Maybe we'll do a tweet up. You won't be able to miss us on Saturday because we'll be the chicks walking around in electric
and shirts that say our name on the sleeve.
So you'll be able to figure out which one's Ninja and which one's Panda. It's going to be kind of...
I think it's actually really easy.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward once we open our mouths and say words in English.
Not even. I'm taller. There we go.
Fuck you. You know, why do you always have to bring it down to that? Anyway.
Oh, bring it down?
Fuck you. Back East. Going down. We'll be there. You'll be there. It'll be awesome. Check out the stuff on our website, which is www.electricsisterhood.com, or use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce to the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within the week. Any questions, email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. iTunes, subscribe, it's free, leave a review.
That's right, you can get our podcast the moment we put it out on the interwebs by subscribing to our podcast in iTunes. Just go to the music store and search for Electric Sisterhood. You can't miss us, it's kind of blatant. We're also available in the Zune Marketplace so that you can get our podcast on your Windows 7 device or Zune device. You know, we're multi-platform because we're not just bi-platform, we're multi-platform. We're all over the place. But make sure that you get a hold of that stuff. Because it's pretty freaking awesome to get it the moment that we put it out on the web.
And if you don't want to do that the cool way, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But also be looking out for the shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right. We're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. While our shows go out brand spanking new on Monday, on Tuesday you get a brand spanking new episode of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast hosted by King Baby Duck. And on Wednesday you get a new episode of the Geek Agro podcast, which is hosted by Deuces Wild. So right there from the beginning of the week to hump day, we've got you covered as far as video games, tech gadgets, anime, music, movies, TV, between the three of us. And there are more things coming to the Land of Esh. But until then, make sure that you check out all of our websites and podcasts, which you can find respectively at landofesh.com, as well as the latest issue of our magazine, which has some great articles in there, including some fan fiction. It's pretty fracking awesome, so make sure that you get down with it and grab that copy. With that said, I'm going to have to say, Pandalicious, what shit you digging on this week?
Boys, or rather, men.
Because there's a difference.
Yes, there is.
There is a difference.
Men?
Uh-huh. But not Two and a Half Men, right? Because Charlie Sheen.
No, that got canceled.
He done gone crazy.
He got served.
He did get served. Seriously, with a subpoena to take his ass to rehab.
So that's one. That's something I dig.
Or yeah.
A person. That's not a thing.
Right.
It's something I dig.
Right.
Man. The Runaways.
Okay.
It's a movie
about a band.
Mm-hmm. Joan Jett and Cherie. I can't remember what her last name was.
Yeah, it's everybody. Yeah. Just pretty much.
That's pretty.
I remember Joan Jett from The Runaways.
Yeah, which is really kind of the important part. But
Joan Jett's amazing.
The bitch from Twilight is in it, and then the second bitch from Twilight's in it.
I love you. The bitch from Twilight did it, and then that other bitch from Twilight did it.
But Dakota Fanning does play a role in the later Twilight.
Yes.
And then the original bitch, Bella, or her real name, Kristen. I can't remember what her last name is.
I don't know. It's not Wade.
Stewart.
Thank you.
Stewart. Original bitch of Twilight.
Yes. The first bitch from Twilight. And then
the later.
Residual bitch from Twilight. You're hysterical.
Well, it's the truth, though. But, Kristen plays Joan Jett, and Dakota plays the Sherry chick.
Yep.
And it was actually really good. Like, KBD had, like, told me, he's like, oh my god, you have to see this movie. And I was like, alright, I'm gonna wait for it to come out. And it came out on Netflix, so, iHeart Netflix.
Yeah.
It's instantly streaming right now.
Mm-hmm.
Take the time out to watch it. I don't think if you're a music fan and a Joan Jett fan that you will, be disappointed. And then very last thing that I dig is the little mini Coke bottles.
Cans. Right.
So Coke in the small, not full
Coca-Cola
can.
Coca-Cola in the little tiny,
the little
shorty
90
cans.
Calorie can. And it is, in fact, 90 calories per can. Not that you can see that, but I totally just did the hand model thing.
She went all Vanda on it.
Yeah, I did. And those are the things that I dig. What do you dig?
I dig roast beef sandwiches. Hot roast beef sandwiches.
Ooh, cheese and mayo.
Yeah, cheese and mayo, baby. That's the good stuff. Yeah, I went there. That's what's up. I'm also digging Jello Skins. I haven't actually talked about them in a while, but got some new vinylage in the work going on there for ESH, and it was really easy to put it together, so I'm really happy.
I have
about
a Jello Skin on my Xbox.
And on your phone.
It's your phone.
Well,
I have one on my laptop.
Yeah, but there's one on your phone.
It's not my phone. It's your phone.
It's
Let's
your
not
phone.
Have this discussion.
It's your phone.
In front of our fans.
It's your phone.
It is not my phone.
Is it in your possession?
It's a temporary
Does it have
phone.
Your phone number in it? Are your contacts on it?
My SIM card has that We're going to be technical. My SIM card has all that information.
No, it doesn't, because your contacts aren't saved to your SIM. Only your phone number saved
to your
SIM.
You know what?
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Not my phone.
It's your phone.
Anyway.
All right. So anyway, Jello Skins, absolutely digging on that shit. And I'm also going to have to say that warm weather. I fucking love warm weather, and I can't wait for it to make another return to the Mass Bay area.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much the shit I'm digging.
Are you sure those are the only things that you're really digging right now? There's
like,
nothing else you might want to...
Well, I mean, I don't want to be all food. I mean, because I could go and be like, okay, Dove's dark chocolate bars.
That's not what I was talking about.
Okay, I mean, I'm digging. That's what I'm digging this week. I might have something else that I might want to amend next week.
All right.
That's what I'm digging this week.
Okay, that's what you're digging.
That's what I'm digging this week.
Okay.
So, as always... I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're out of here, people.
See you guys next week.